Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
50 Minute Mark here on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. I will also tell you right now, Fan Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. If Myers Law Group was the ones picking what the weather was, you'd be shaking their hand today because it's probably, I don't think I'm exaggerating this, this might be the nicest day of the entire traditional summer months, June and July so far. 81, low humidity. I walked outside onto the deck this morning at Chateau Malzie. It was 63 degrees, a slight chill in the air, you might even say. And all I wanted to do was sit and have coffee on the deck. And instead, both boys were like yelling at me. I can't let the dog out there right now, the little dog, because there's a hawk that just sits up in a tree waiting.
Oh, you've told me about that.
The hawk was a problem because one of our neighbors, a couple houses up, had a rabbit rather messily disemboweled by said hawk, which I'm cool with in principle because those rabbits suck, man. Rabbits are the worst. Their only defense against getting eaten and killed is to multiply. They're just going strength in numbers. That's why they say hump like rabbits. And I thought, well, the smaller of the two dogs is the size of a very, very, very large rabbit, an overweight rabbit, you might even say. And so now we don't let Lance out there unless one of us is out there because if the hawk's in the tree, you never know when he's going to swoop in. Very dangerous hawk.
And which one's the smaller dog?
Lance.
Okay.
We call him Big Lance, ironically.
Okay.
It's like a big dog named Tiny kind of thing.
Yeah, or a big guy named Tiny.
Correct. Anywho, yes, for those of you wondering why I had wide eyes, it was John Jaha discussion. I have Donnie in here for a reason, because what we're eventually going to do here is just right in his wheelhouse. But two things hit me. TJ Watt signs his big contract. So you know how, like, the sausage gets made thusly in what we do for a living, and especially this time of year. Usually, sports talk, you're reacting to things that happen. You are sometimes not creating the narrative per se, but you're giving your opinions, and then those give rise to like narratives, and that becomes a talking point in and of itself. If you have opinions big enough that they become the storyline, that's kind of the holy grail. This is the middle of summer. We just got out of All-Star Week. It's still ramp-up time. When camp starts, that's when everybody's really going to, you know, put the gas pedal down, and here we go. So when TJ Watt's in the news for signing his extension, naturally there are going to be some stories that come out that involve even tangentially TJ Watt, and they're probably going to get on radars around here. And so there were two of these lists that came out recently that caught my attention. One this morning had Pony the Mouth. The other one, I swear to God, I think he missed, Donnie, because it might have made him angrier if he had seen it. So the one I'll talk about in a second is Monday Morning Quarterback at SI put together their all quarter century team. And they had a couple of their writers vote for this. So it was Albert Breer, it was Connor Orr, Gilberto Manzano, Matt I don't know how to say his last name.
Verderami,
I think. John Plum and Mitch Goldich. And they had a six-man panel, and that's how they voted. So that didn't make me too mad. Where Watt falls on that did not have me foaming at the mouth necessarily. It was something else, though. PFF, did you see this? PFF put out their top 50 players heading into this season in the NFL. Okay? Who do you think was number one on the list? PFF top 50 NFL players.
Josh Allen?
No. Guess again.
Lamar?
Guess again.
Now I'm starting to think it's not a quarterback.
Well, you haven't said one other quarterback that I'm stunned you didn't say.
Mahomes?
Nope, wasn't him either.
It wasn't a QB.
It wasn't. It was Myles Garrett, number one player in the league. Micah Parsons was in the top 10. I think he was like 7th. TJ Watt was 10th on this list. And I like PFF. I respect what they do over there, what they try to do on a regular basis. I'm sorry. If you talk about being the site that like quantifies quarterback play, probably above everything else, but also goes after every individual thing, but does so from the perspective that quarterback play is automatically the most important because it's the most important position on the field. And you tell me that Myles Garrett is not just the best edge rusher in the league, but the best player in the league. I'm tuning out. I think there's one defensive player in the last 20 years who probably warrants that kind of discussion, and that's Donald at his peak because he was that disruptive and that far ahead of everybody else. The idea that Garrett is not just the best edge rusher, fine. If you want to have that opinion, I can certainly be persuaded that that's actually the case. He ain't better than Mahomes. He ain't better than Lamar. He ain't better than Josh Allen. He ain't better than Joe Burrow. No way. Absolutely no way. I'm not even sure he's definitively better than Trent Williams when he's healthy. He was number one and Watts down there at 10 with Parsons sandwiched in between him. So that one got me first. I think Pony missed that one because, you know, he'd have been calling for a raid of the PFF offices because he would have accused them of doing drugs.
Well, PFF does have a love affair with Myles Garrett. We all know that. But, I mean, my goodness. Number one.
Even I, the guy who understands, like, and I don't say understands. That makes me sound like I get something that everyone else fundamentally does not comprehend. I put stock in when they say pressures matter and other stuff matters. Even if that is your rubric and you love the guy because he gets double and triple teamed and he still generates pressure, he is not better than any of those quarterbacks named. If you ask the PFF people, okay, because really quick here, by logic would dictate that if they said he's the best player in the league heading into this season, right? If you asked everybody at PFF, who would you start a team with in the NFL, would they then say the best player, Myles Garrett, right?
Yeah.
Which nobody there would say. They'd say, give us at least the four quarterbacks that are behind him first.
And probably a couple of others.
And probably one or two other. Probably Matt Stafford would still, well, maybe not at his age, but you get what I'm saying. So I found that to be distasteful, to say the least. Then there's the other one. And this is what I wanted to do with you here was go through the Monday morning quarterbacks all quarter century team. So they voted on it. The six guys we just mentioned, they made their votes. They had a first, a second, a third team, and an others receiving votes category, how this worked, okay? So they have the votes in parentheses. You just want to run through this all-century team, and you can tell me, stop me if you think anybody got disrespected here, generally.
Yes.
I know you love this stuff. I know you just eat this up. If you were doing this...
Remember some guys.
If you were doing a show tonight and there wasn't a Pirates game on, you and Borges would be remembering some guys for a damn hour here, okay? Quarterback first team, Brady... is the first teamer, Mahomes second team, Manning third team, others receiving votes, Lamar, that was it. So there's 36 total points, I guess, to be gleaned here, and it was Brady getting half, Mahomes, Manning, Jackson. Any major issues there?
Yeah, I think that shed out pretty well. I mean, plus Jackson got just the one.
No votes for Rodgers, no votes for Breeze, no votes for Eli, no votes for Ben.
Rodgers is probably, I mean, dude's a four-time MVP.
I think
now that you're thinking about it, I'm putting him above Jackson.
I'd put him above Jackson with respect to Jackson, who I think is singular and unique. I'd put him in maybe Breeze even, but definitely Rodgers. Okay, so we would both put Rodgers in there instead of Jackson. Running back, first team, LaDainian Tomlinson, 17 points. Second team, Adrian Peterson with 12, Derrick Henry with 9. Third team, Shady with 4. Others receiving votes, Frank Gore, Sean Alexander, Saquon Barkley, Edge James.
I think they pretty much nailed the first and second team. I mean, I think Shady's worthy. He had, more yards than anybody in the 2010s or something?
Yes, he's an all-decade team guy. Peterson has a case, I think, above Tomlinson, and if Henry keeps going like this for two or three more years, but Tomlinson was so good in his prime. He wasn't He wasn't the force of nature physically that Peterson was, but he was so good as a pass catcher. Marshall Faulk probably a couple years early for this because he would have, you know, if those greatest show on turf Rams teams had done more in the 2000s, he'd be up there. Get Sean Alexander off this list. No offense. Fine. Like, nice that you had that one awesome season, pal. Wide receiver, Larry Fitzgerald, Randy Moss, Calvin Johnson, your first teamers. Second team, T.O. and Julio. Third team, Tyreek Hill, A.B., Marvin Harrison. Others receiving votes, Mike Evans, A.J. Green, D-Hop, Andre Johnson, Steve Smith Sr., and Anquan Boldin. I'd put A.B. higher up. I've got to bump somebody off that list.
I think A.B., I might put him ahead of both of the guys on the second team.
I think
so. At minimum, I'm putting him ahead of Julio Jones.
It's very hard. Here's the problem for me on the first team. Fitz did it every year, not always with very good quarterback play until he had Kurt Warner. If you asked me, though, of Fitz, Moss, and Johnson, who of those three I'd bump for A.B., it might be Fitz. Megatron.
It's hard for me to complain about any of those.
I know,
three.
But I put AB on every list I make of best receivers I've ever seen. I put him third behind Moss and Rice. So in theory, I have to put him ahead of both of those guys. But now should I be reconsidering where I put AB in the all-time history of the position? I'm putting him above T.O. and Julio, and there's a ton of people that will argue with me about T.O. I don't know, man. This was like an eye test thing. I watched all the guys on this list because it's easy to watch them. AB at his peak was as unstoppable as any player on this list, maybe save Randy Moss. Even Megatron. Yeah. Even Megatron. Tight end, Travis Kelce, first team. Gronk, second team. Others receiving votes, Antonio Gates. I'd flip first and second team.
So would I.
And Gronk's better than Kelce.
What about Tony Gonzalez?
2000s. He did, what, first 4 or 5 years of his career. Gonzalez, he led all tight ends since 2000 with 13,289 yards. He probably should have been in there. Quickly, your first team O-tackles, Ogden and Joe Thomas. Thomas got more votes. I have no issue there. Trent Williams, Walter Jones, second team. Tyron Smith, Lane Johnson, and then Orlando Pace, Jason Peters. Pace should probably be higher on here somewhere.
I'd probably flip him with one of the guys on the third team.
Zach Martin and Fanica, two biggest vote-getters at guards. Damn right, although Martin got one more point than him. Hutchinson and Marshall Yanda at second team. Jari Evans and Joe Tooney at third team. Mankins, Quentin Nelson, Lindstrom, and Will Shields all got votes. I'm a little surprised Nelson was as low as he was. Jason Kelce at center. Kevin Mawai, second team. Pounce, third team. No real issue there, although
no.
Kelce almost gets too much love at this point. I'm a little fatigued.
That happens when he's a media buddy.
Jeff Saturday, Linderbaum, Alex Mack all got votes there. Again, stop me if anything. Here's where it goes. All quarter century team, MMQB at SI. As Johnny the Barber texts me and asks me if I need BFF's all quarter century team. No, I think we're good on how many Ohio State players you could name today. Who would be the dumbest out of pocket? He'd have like Doran Grant from the Steelers.
Well, I was going to say
he'd have him on the all century team.
They've had a handful.
He'd have Chris Gamble on the all century team. Jeff Okuda, edge rushers.
Eli
though.
Apple,
Julius Peppers, J.J. Watt, Miles Garrett, first team. Jared Allen, DeMarcus Ware, Von Miller, second team. Jason Taylor, Khalil Mack, Michael Strahan, third team. So remember, this is melding together DNs and like off-ball or outside linebackers, depending on scheme. Others receiving votes, TJ Watt, Cam Jordan, and Ball So Hard U's most famous graduate, Terrell Suggs. Man, Watt being behind Stray. I know Strahan won Super Bowl and everything else. Super Bowls, right? I think. Maybe just the one. Some nasty work there. I know these are all like Hall of Famers to be or
already in
guys, but Garrett, here's the problem again, man. Why is Garrett all the way up on the first team? Why is there that much separation?
Yeah, there should not be.
I am somebody who just said last week, I think Garrett is the slightly better player. It's an unpopular stance in this town. Have we lost our minds? Is Jared Allen's too high up here?
I would almost put DeMarcus Ware up on that first team list.
I wouldn't put Garrett up there, man. Win one thing. I know the argument's the same for Watt. Win one thing that matters in the postseason.
I mean,
one.
What is Khalil Mack really ever won?
Ware and Von Miller basically won the Broncos a Super Bowl.
Yes.
They
and
did.
That was Ware late in his career,
yes.
Too. But, like, okay, Khalil Mack, who I think at his peak was a elite player, defensive player of the year winner, like, what has he ever won, though, in the grand scheme of, like, the team?
I know sport? This is, like, Pittsburgh person on Pittsburgh high school graduate crime here.
Jason Taylor.
What is Jason Taylor? I mean, he did win. I forgot he won Defensive Player of the Year. I did forget the DPOY. Three first team All Pros. I don't know, man.
Watt already has more.
Right. Jason Taylor, 1, 2, 3, 6 seasons with double digit sacks in a 15 year career. I don't know, man. I'd put Watt above him.
I think the problem, too, is that, I mean, I know that they just did it all edge.
Yeah.
I mean, they mixed in a
lot
all
of DNs.
And,
yeah. Defensive tackle, quickly here. Aaron Donald, most votes there. Chris Jones, first team with him. Warren Sapp, Richard Seymour, Ndamukong Suh, Geno Atkins, Kevin Williams, Calais Campbell, Haloti Ngata, Fletcher Cox. No Cam Hayward. If Calais Campbell's going to be on there, Hayward should be on there.
Yeah.
If Fletcher Cox is going to be on there, Hayward should be on there. At least, I'm not asking Hayward to be on the first, second, or third team. I can make a case for him over Geno Atkins. And I know they're, again, like mixing this together like a witch's brew. But Hayward's got to be in there somewhere.
And I thought Haloti Ngata was like a scary dude, but at no point is his top level better than Cam Hayward's.
Inside backer, I got to go quick here because, of course, I didn't budget my time. Ray Lewis and Bobby Wagner, first team, ass. Forget that. No way. They said Lewis was a no-brainer. No, yeah, you're right. You have no brains if you put him above Luke Kuechly and Brian Urlacher, second team. Derek Brooks, Patrick Willis, third team. London Fletcher, CJ Mosley. I'll say it right here.
My guy, London Fletcher.
The third team, Brooks and Willis, is better than the first team straight away. Straight away. Give me that first team definitely over the third team definitely over the first.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Team. I'm trying to fight like a two-front mental war here. The first front is, this front's easier for me to actually understand, the first part of this. Why is TJ Watt getting put on, also receiving votes for a quarter century team while Miles Garrett's number one? Why is TJ Watt 10th on the list of top 50 players for PFF in 2025 in the NFL? That part's a little easier for me to understand. In the first case, there's a ton of great pass rushers. Watt hasn't won a single playoff game. You etch your name in history with like a Super Bowl or huge playoff performances, you're closer to top of mind. DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller carried the Broncos to a Super Bowl. That is a fact. Watt hasn't carried the Steelers to a single playoff win yet. So that part's a little easier. He's also coming off his worst season since his rookie year. So TJ Watt is not bathed in glory the last month we saw him on a football field. He doesn't move around on the field. He doesn't really drop into pass coverage anymore. He's really good. He makes splashy plays. But I get it. I get it when you're comparing him through the entire quarter century. What I am having a much harder time with, this PFF list, but especially this MMQB list, and I think I put my neck on the line here in this town, and I say I think Garrett's a little bit better than Watt. I'm having a lot of trouble understanding why Miles Garrett is on the first team all-quarter century list for edge rushers, as well as the number one spot, occupying the number one spot on PFF's top 50 NFL players for 2025 list. That is brain-melting me, especially the second one. PFF knows how important the quarterback position is. They grade out every position. You mean to tell me he's better than Mahomes, Jackson especially, and Allen right now, who I feel like, if we're going to, like, gun to my head, they might be a little bit ahead of Mahomes at the moment, because now we've seen Mahomes in some of these Super Bowls really look mortal. You're putting him ahead of those two, ahead of Mahomes, who's won three titles, ahead of Burrow, who dragged a hideous defense to the cusp of the playoffs last year. Come on. I say, what has TJ Watt won whenever I talk about TJ Watt? Other than one playoff game against the Steelers, what has Miles Garrett won? What has Miles Garrett been part of? And again, I think he's better, but number one in the league. No, he's not. If you think he's the best player in the league by rights, you should think, if I have a draft of every player available to me to start a team, I'm taking him above everybody else. Hell no. You would get laughed at if you took him above Jackson, Mahomes, Burrow, or Allen in a draft. At least. You might get laughed at if you took him ahead of Drake May. You might get laughed at. You definitely get laughed at if you took him ahead of Jaden Daniels right now. What are we doing here? Why am I getting so mad about this? It's July 21st. It's nice outside. Just hate it when people do stupid things. Johnny is on the fan. He wants to try to figure out this whole mystery with me. Hello, Johnny.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Nothing.
Hey, I didn't get to vent Friday because we talked about my tomatoes and garden.
Oh, you sounded a little bit too relaxed for a Monday afternoon. Yes, what's up?
The way I look at it, we pay TJ Watt the most impactful, most valuable defensive player in the league by far. A premium for 3 years of
his
prime.
I don't think he's the most valuable defensive player in the league, but that's
okay. Well, top three, top five. So we got him at a premium for 3 years. Then we'll get him for 2-3 more years at a hometown discount. He retires as a Steeler, most sacks ever. But what's really ticking me off is if I have to hear one more time a Tannenbaum and these national guys say in a conference with quarterbacks like Joe Burrow and an elite organization like Baltimore with Lamar Jackson, the Steelers got to do this and that. And all I say to that is, look at their head-to-head records over the last 5 years.
Okay.
And the Steelers have dominated by far, both teams. They have dominated Burrow. They have dominated Lamar. And how have they done that?
What about the playoff game last year where the Ravens and Lamar ran for 300 and cruised past them, and it was very, very, very easy for them?
Well, I mean, there was a lot of mitigating circumstances.
I got news for you, Johnny. I got news for you about Lamar in particular. He figured out the Steelers last year. He actually played them twice. He figured them out the last two times.
The two games before that, he was sitting there despondent. I don't know what it is with this team. He got us two games in a row. Okay. But let's just look over the consistency of the last 5 years. We have dominated them, and everyone says, why are they spending their money on defense? Why? We're dominating these quarterbacks with our defense. Now we have Rodgers. If he does what I think he will do and hope he does, and our defense is at least the same, but it's most likely going to be better with the ads, then we should dominate them again.
You brought up Rodgers. You were having a little wacky tobacco last Friday when you called. Would you ever do ayahuasca like he did?
I would have to be in such a controlled environment, bro.
I've heard some things about this ayahuasca, like you come out the other side and you're a different person permanently.
Yeah, I kind of already went through that, though. I had my Jim Carrey moment from the movie where he went berserk when he was a cop.
Me, Myself, and Irene.
Me, Myself, and Irene. I had that moment at the AC/DC concert in Cleveland, and it totally changed everything for me, my perspective.
Thank you, Johnny. That's one of those ones. I don't want to hear another syllable about what happened at the AC/DC concert in Cleveland. That's a Pulp Fiction what's in the briefcase moment. It's better when it's left to the imagination of the person participating on the other end of the discussion. All right, it's time for that music, which means it's time for the Donnie Debrief, brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. I'll also tell you that it is 4:32. Now's the time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums, 724-443-5610. But now, Donnie, I turn it over to you.
The Debrief, July 21, 2025. All right, Malzy, the Steelers unveiled their throwback uniforms this morning from 1933.
Uni season, baby. I love it.
And
you know I love it.
An alternate helmet for the first time in well over a decade with the matte gold helmet that they are throwing out there. But what do you think of it? I know Pony was not a fan, Malzy, but I want to hear your review.
I think they're fine. I like the matte gold, the helmet being a little bit of a throwback. You know that I'll never get my holy grail of a red and blue hypocycloid-themed uniform, so I'm just going to have to ditch that plan, but I've always thought that would be the best. I think it looks fine. It's the 1994 Barry Foster, an updated
Rod
version
Woodson,
of that.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, it's the 94. They had the big patches where Woodson and Dion were on the all-75th anniversary team as the corners. The one thing I haven't understood from people on this is everyone saying, I hate it. It would be better with black pants. I think it would look ridiculous with black pants.
So I did see somebody mock it up with black pants, and to me it does look better. But the thing is, kind of like with the infamous Bumblebee uniforms, the beige / khaki pants actually have a meaning. That was the original pants that they wore in 33.
Yeah, I don't really understand the problem that people have with this. I think they wore it in 1994. You know what? In 1994, if Twitter existed, we would have had the same outcry. Oh, why are they wearing this? I think they look fine. A throwback is not supposed to look like the ultimate in like style here. The Packers throwbacks are like the most plain Jane uniforms you could imagine. A throwback is supposed to look like a throwback, like what it was.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes we kind of get caught up in throwback and alternate, meaning
the same thing. Which they don't. That's a good point.
Right,
that's a good distinction.
A team can put out an alternate uniform, which has nothing to do with their history, and that can look new and modern and cool. I mean, this isn't meant to be that. This is meant to go back in Steelers
history. I agree
history
with you.
And be a look at what they used to wear. I was kind of hoping for the ones they wore like in the late 60s that had the gold on the shoulders.
Yeah. Yep.
Because I can't remember a time when they wore those in recent history.
I have a theory. And it's just a complete pet theory. That was such a bad time in franchise history, they're trying to avoid it.
Just completely wipe it out. This never existed.
Well, they were a total joke back then. They were one of the punchlines of the NFL. I think that don't you think it's at least plausible that that was such a bad time and that they're in their history that they would try to avoid it, that they wouldn't give it a ton of credence and bring it back in? All it is bad memories. This is to the inception of the franchise. That's part of the reason I think they avoid those 60s uniforms. I also think you truly did make a perfect point. A throwback does not have to look cool. An alternate jersey should probably look pretty appealing from like a sharpness perspective. The whole point of the throwback is honoring your history. Cool. Hey, this is what it was like almost 100 years ago when the franchise was founded. This is how they were dressing. And I think the black pants, the black pants would make it look like something I would design on like a game of Madden where I could design a jersey from scratch or something. I'd be like, look at all this black and yellow. It would look like Iowa doing a throwback uniform. Keep the beige pants.
Well, remember
stop whining people.
The one that the Giants unveiled, they look like the Canadiens.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
But again, that's a throwback. Somebody, so, I mean, they're not always going to look pretty in modern times.
Somebody pointed out their big gripe is that the jersey numbers on the front do not match the ones on the back because they're like white on the front, black on the back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Isn't that another, though, unique, like, sort of calling card thing? I don't know. I don't have a huge issue with it.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the numbers don't have any sort of historical significance. Now, on the back, they do. They went with the classic block numbers.
No, isn't it just a color match?
Yeah, well, the thing is, if you make the numbers black on the front, that messes up the stripes.
Yeah, you have to do it.
Because you have the black striping. So
you know what? I'm
going to
be bold
be
here. This is a better look than the Bumblebee uniform. I think it's better. There's a lot going on. It's visually distracting. It's a better look than the Bumblebee uniforms. How about them apples, Don?
I think I'm with you now that I'm looking at it more. I mean, I had still been the guy calling for the all white if they ever go back to the color rush days, because one of my like weird stances is that for as ugly as some of those uniforms were, I kind of miss the color rush.
All right, I have
era
a take on the
Thursday
color
night football.
I have a color rush take though. All white to me is not a color rush.
Well, the Bengals did it.
I understand that, and the white with the white helmet, I think theirs looked very cool for some reason. I don't know why, like a Siberian tiger look. I don't know, though. Otherwise, I feel like all white is such an unbelievable cop-out. You could do that anytime you wanted to if you were most teams. Hey, let's get our all white look together. Oh, cool. Let's go with the blandest color possible. Hey, let's make it. Hey, how about more white? Can you get a little bit more white in the uniform here? I don't know. It's not Wimbledon, man.
Hey, guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.